who donate to this NPR station.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students regardless of their location. Online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. UF believes it's time to expect more from an online education. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM and 80 and WMNF.org. This is community radio from West Central Florida. And you're listening to Executive Session. My name is John Gilmore, and I host these sessions each Monday through Thursday at this time. The sessions are an open forum for discussing your executive branch of your United States government because, as we do remind you from time to time, they work for you. So, we welcome all viewpoints. We require civility as we are convinced that your radio is still the back fence of the nation, which is to say a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they don't agree. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. Ms. Jan Simpson will answer your call. She's going to want to know what your first name is, where you're calling from, maybe a word or two about what you got to say. And then you can air your views here in the community. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Now, if you use that text machine and you want to, put your name in there because otherwise we only know you as an area code. Be sure to find Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page because you can see all the links to the material that we're discussing in any given day and you can join the discussion there. The president offered a deal over the weekend to open the government. It was rejected by both sides, and triggered ridicule from the right. Ann Coulter actually posted a tweet that said something like, "We voted for Trump and got Jeb," which I'm sure was an upset for the president. So today we enter the second month of our government being shut down. Last night, Seth Meyers took a closer look at the shutdown. So we're going to open the session today with a few minutes from that commentary. Our clip ends with Meyers' assertion that across the nation, millions of people are suffering needlessly.
The president gave a speech on Saturday about the government shutdown and offered an immigration deal that both Democrats and hardline conservatives have rejected. President Trump's speech on Saturday was mostly just a collection of the same debunked talking points he's been repeating for weeks. Maybe Trump is laboring because he knows every time he gives one of these speeches, it gets harder and harder to convince people. On Saturday, for example, he floated a new proposal. In exchange for wall money, he would offer temporary extensions for recipients of two programs that protect immigrants, known as DACA and TPS. And not only did Democrats reject it, but so did hardline conservatives. Right-wing pundit Ann Coulter tweeted, "Trump proposes amnesty. We voted for Trump and got Jeb." Wow. She compared him to Jeb Bush, his nemesis from the primaries. Trump prides himself on being a master negotiator. Here is actual footage of Jeb Bush's most successful negotiation.
Please clap.
But of course, you guys, the comparison is unfair. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's not like Trump has ever asked a crowd to give him a standing ovation.
Yeah,
no. Oh, my God. It's happening. He's turning into Jeb. Soon he's going to start wearing glasses and getting trapped in his own hoodie. Even Trump's speeches are low energy now. When he runs for re-election in 2020, the primary debates are just going to be a split screen of him making faces at himself. Now, we're living in a very surreal time where people like Ann Coulter have tremendous sway over the president. In December, Trump was going to give up on the wall until Coulter called him a gutless and a vulgar publicity hound. He then went to try to win her back. Trump shut down the government. And once again, after Coulter insulted him and called the deal amnesty, Trump scrambled to make her happy by tweeting, "No amnesty is not a part of my offer." Man, why is he so subservient to her? Trump's proposal is not amnesty. It's not even a reasonable deal. And there's no reason to believe he'll follow through on it. Remember, we've been down this road many times with him. And every time, he's reneged on his promises. As early as February 2017, he said he wanted to protect Dreamers, the young undocumented immigrants brought here as children, and that he would be open to a bill that would give them permanent legal status.
On the DACA program for immigration, right. What is your plan? Do you plan to continue that program or to end it?
We're going to show great heart. DACA is a very, very difficult subject for me, I will tell you. To me, it's one of the most difficult subjects I have because you have these incredible kids. We are going to deal with DACA with heart. The DACA situation is a very, very, it's a very difficult thing for me because, you know, I love these kids. I love kids. I have kids.
I have kids. I have kids. I've only ever tried to deport two of them.
That was in February 2017. In September, Trump canceled the program. Then in January, he told lawmakers he was open to a compromise. And then 2 days after that, he completely changed his mind again. And even Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who brokered the compromise and has become one of Trump's closest allies in Congress, was stunned by Trump's sudden change of heart.
Tuesday, we had a president that I was proud to golf with, call my friend, who understood immigration had to be bipartisan. You had to have border security. It's essential you have border security with a wall. But he also understood the idea that we had to do it with compassion. Now, I don't know where that guy went. I want him back.
You can't negotiate with someone who doesn't know anything, who changes his mind constantly, and who lives in fear of Ann Coulter's Twitter account. There's really only one person who can end this shutdown right now, and that's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. The Senate has already passed a bill to keep the government open with no strings attached. All McConnell has to do is pass that same bill again and override the president's veto, and the government would open up immediately, which is why a group of freshman Democrats, led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, showed up at his office last week demanding to know what he was doing.
We have voted repeatedly over and over again to reopen the government. We went to his office in the Capitol. We went to his office here in the Russell Building. We went to the floor. We went to the cloakroom. He's not in the cloakroom. He's not in the Capitol. He's not in the Russell Building. He's not in the floor of the Senate. And 800,000 people don't have their paychecks. So where's Mitch?
I mean, yeah. Although I will say, we've been down this road with Trump before, and there's no reason to trust him any more than we have in the past. The Senate could pass a bill right now to reopen the government. In the meantime, millions of people are needlessly suffering.
So, the president has frequently expressed hostility toward the FBI, up to and including the charge that it is working within the so-called deep state to attack him. And from the right, we hear calls to disband the agency. You can find that on Fox. Mr. Greg Jarrett making some remarks on Fox about disbanding about the FBI. Rachel Maddow opened her program last night looking at some of the repercussions of withholding pay from our premier law enforcement agency and security personnel. Now, one of the things that got my attention about this is that up until now, there hasn't been a lot of conversation about the additional repercussions, not just the fact that people weren't being paid and what might be the results of not being paid, but actually how this, that would play out farther down the line. And Rachel got on and had some comment about that, and we are going to listen to a few minutes of that, and then we're going to go to the phones.
You know, if you ever wanted to put the FBI out of business, one cheap and cheerful way to do that would be to organize a federal government shutdown that went on for, I don't know, some really long period of time, like more than 30 days. One of the things that you endure regularly if you work for an agency like the FBI is that they routinely do financial background checks on you. And you get the basic idea of why they might do that, right? I mean, for example, you may have seen the kind of application you have to fill out to get a security clearance from the U.S. government, the SF-86 form. But if you look at those forms, if you look at what you have to demonstrate and spell out in order to get a security clearance, they ask you about all sorts of things. But one of the things that really striking when you actually look at the questions they ask and the documentation you have to provide is that it's a ton of financial stuff. A big part of the way they assess you in terms of whether some adversary or some crook might be able to leverage something against you, part of the way they check that is to check your finances. If you're going to have access to sensitive national security or intelligence related information, they want to make sure that you're not going to be susceptible to bribery, to literally selling your country for cash. So they stress test you financially before you can get a security clearance. And if you are an FBI agent, that's not just something that they look at the outset of your career. While you are employed as an agent at the FBI, they will go back and frequently recheck that aspect of your life to make sure your financial situation has not changed to potentially open you up to that kind of pressure or leverage. So given that reality, one easy peasy way to screw up the whole FBI, I mean, not even just the FBI, I mean, everybody involved in federal law enforcement and national security and intelligence work, just start taking away paychecks from all of those people all at once. And not just one paycheck, it would really help if it was multiple paychecks. Let them go multiple pay periods with zero income while still requiring them to work every day. With that one genius move, you can break the family finances of basically every single federal law enforcement and national security agent in the country. You actually do risk national security by making all of those people potentially more susceptible to compromise, right? There's a reason why financial strain is a big red flag when it comes to security clearances, right? And law enforcement and national security jobs. Putting all of the people in this country in all of those jobs under serious financial strain all at once, it does systematically increase their potential susceptibility to compromise or corruption. And even better than that, I mean, in one fell swoop with just this one neat trick, you screw up all of their careers. You can create security clearance problems for all of them all at once by putting them all under financial strain. And in so doing, you can, in a lasting way, make the FBI and other federal law enforcement and national security agencies seem like super risky and demoralizing places to work. Make it harder for them to ever recruit the best talent in the year. Right? I mean, that's going to happen every year that the FBI and other law enforcement and national security agencies are hiring from here on out. They're going to go to grad schools. They're going to go to colleges. They're going to seek talent everywhere they can all over the country. And people who have other options, you want to come work for the FBI? Might be a few months where you don't get paid, but you still have to work every day. Is that going to be good? Are you starting a family? I mean, think about what this does to law enforcement and national security agencies and their ability to hire the best. Especially if they want to hire people who have some sort of perverse desire to actually be paid for going to work every day. Last week, we reported that the New York field office of the FBI had started a food bank for their agents and their families. Now, David Rode at The New Yorker reports that the FBI's storied Washington field office has also started a canned food drive for its agents as well. Just like all the other hundreds of thousands of furloughed federal workers, these agents are heading into their second pay period of $0 paychecks. Local reporting in Washington, D.C. tonight indicates that agents have also been told that if they roll on through a second pay period with more $0 paychecks, they will also this week lose their dental and vision coverage for themselves and their families. Tomorrow, we start month number two of hundreds of thousands of federal employees either being idled entirely or forced to work indefinitely without pay. Apparently, Republicans and the White House all agree that the president's demand for the building of a wall between us and Mexico, that is the hill upon which all of this will die. So we proceed, not quite sure how long this can go on, and also not quite sure what exactly it's going to look like when it all breaks.
Well, what do you think of Maddow's observations on putting the FBI out of business in this particular way? It also turns out that there are grand juries that will be suspended because they can't be paid for. So do you think that may be part of the intended results of this shutdown? Or is this just an example of the president's inability to consider the long-term, or to be even aware of the long-term effects of his actions? And what do you think it's all going to look like when it all breaks? You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. You can reach us in the studio at DJ@WMNF. You can reach us at by text at 813-433-0885. Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
And we are in session for a Tuesday afternoon talking about this shutdown and the broad-ranging effects, including the damage that's being done to basically to federal service. If you're in college and you're reaching the point where you're looking for a career and there's a career day or a job fair and the federal government is out there and they're talking to you about coming in, maybe be an FBI agent or a TSA officer or, you know, anything like that. And, you know, you going to remind them that their people are currently working for free? And would you be enticed by the security of a federal government job if you face the risk at some unknown point in the future of having to come to work day after day after day and not being paid? Ted in Ellenton, good afternoon. Kick us off here on a Tuesday afternoon. You're in executive session on WMNF.
Well, remember the last time I called? Well, I love those guys in the U.S. Marshals Service.
Yeah?
Yeah, about November, about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Tahiti.
Tahiti?
Tahiti.
Oh, yeah?
Very nice. But I had to wait to get to Florida after DeSantis was sworn in because Scott wouldn't let me back in the state.
I love a guy with a rich imagination, I gotta tell you. How are things down there in the bunker? Is it all nice and dry and cozy?
No, I'm actually up enjoying this weather.
Oh, yeah. Isn't this nice? Well, after you get over the chilly, it's pretty nice during the day. But, chilly as in weather.
I left Albany last Wednesday. It was zero with 20-mile-an-hour winds. Yeah.
That'll...
Let's put it this way. The brass monkeys were cold.
All right, Ted, listen, it's good to talk with you. I'm glad you got back in the country.
Yep.
And we'll talk again.
All Okay, bye.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. Jan Simpson's going to answer your phone call out there and get you ready to step on in here. And right now, we are going to go talk to Daryl. Daryl, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, how you doing?
So far, not bad, you know.
I'll try to bring it back. But I would say that Rachel Maddow's observations were spot on. But I will say it like this. It was spot on light.
Yeah.
Because let's say if you're on worldwide television and you were saying, well, hey, you know, the government is shut down, so all of you drug cartels in Mexico and in Colombia and Honduras, you can put all your stuff, hide them on the ship like you normally do, because when they come to the port of entry, guess what? The people who inspect the ships and inspect your stuff, they aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
They ain't getting paid.
Well, that's it. I was talking to Craig, and I've talked to some other folks about this, and the folks that are associated with our airports could stop this thing in about 24 hours. Because if the officers of the TSA and the flight, the air traffic controllers didn't show up tomorrow and the entire airline system came to a stop.
Yes, sir.
There would be, the action would be faster than almost anything you can imagine, because there is very, very little in the nation, actually international, now, that doesn't move by air.
Translated, from the movie The Ten Commandments, there's going to be such a hue and cry.
Yeah.
Because, just think about what I just said. If you're going on, you couldn't imagine going on worldwide television, and then that's basically what she's basically saying, because, you know, the FBI is shut down.
Yeah.
The NSA is shut down.
Well, they're not shut down. They're working, but they're just not being paid, they're doing their jobs, and their benefits are about to be ditched. They are in danger of possible legal action based on the lack of money in their accounts, and that's going to show up on their security forms down the line.
In other words, which you might as well say, they're shut down. And, oh, I forgot the other, you said FBI, NSA. Oh, what about the CIA?
Yeah, I don't, I'm not sure where, well, I guess anything that's under the DHS, I'm not sure. I think,
I know you got a lot of callers, and I'm going to get off the air, which segues me into my other point. We have an unconventional individual. I still ain't going to call him a president. He's a gangster, which, by the way, 2 years ago, I told y'all so. I told you so. So to deal with this unconventional person, you're going to need to do some unconventional stuff, like what about the stuff that's not in the budget? I mean, black ops money. That's where you're going to have to. We're going to have to do 2019. This is going to last a long time.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm not going to fund the people that's going to possibly put me in the pokey. And I'm telling you, this is how Donald Trump is. He was this way in his private life. This is how he is in his public life. And it's going to take some unconventional thinking. And a lot of you wouldn't like what I'm going to have to say. I feel sorry for those people, but you know what? This is what happens when I just won't change. Well, you put crazy in the White House and corrupt in the White House. And so for 2019, to get this stuff taken out, is going to take some unconventional thinking and crazy. And no, I'm not going to use the A word.
Yeah.
I don't want nobody knocking on my door.
That's a good idea. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even hint on anything.
Yeah, I would just think it's going to take some unconventional thinking. Mr. Soros and any billionaires, you need to help us out.
I think I'll tell you what; those guys have enough going on right now. Richard Wolf's begun to focus his attention on them and gone, like, there's 26 people in the world that own more than 3.8 billion of the lowest in least wealthy people. So, you know, all right, listen, Daryl, thanks a lot, and you take care of yourself. We'll talk again. 813-239-9663. We'll get you in contact with Ms. Jan Simpson today. And let's see, we got Charlie and Mike and David and Joe. We got a line open. If you want to call in here, you can get in here right now. We'll be right back. That great ride into great radio. WMNF accepts all kinds of vehicles, including SUVs, trucks, RVs, as a form of support, even boats. It's easy to give, and we'll handle everything from the free pickup to the donation receipt. And to learn more about how to donate a vehicle, visit WMNF.org or call 888-966-3885.
WMNF's winter membership drive begins at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, February 6th, and ends on February 13th. We're now seeking restaurants, caterers, and chefs to feed our volunteers taking your pledges. Do you own or work for a food establishment? We have many ways to thank you. Find out about donating drinks, snacks, or a meal by contacting Miss Julie at 813-238-8001 or emailing missjulie@wmnf.org.
And back to the conversation, talking about the somewhat less obvious aspects of this lengthy and growing cessation of operations in a certain very critical part of our government. We have the Department of Homeland Security. Now, this escapes me. How is it that you leverage something that you think is critical for national security by shutting down the pay for people who are actually on the front lines of your national security now? 813-239-9663. Mike in Tampa, you are in executive session and you have the floor.
Yeah, I just want to comment. We were talking yesterday about Bill Clinton and welfare reform, and he said what came out was not what he really intended, but he had started advocating it. I was thinking about that after I got off the phone yesterday. He set the terms in his State of Union address in 1996 when he said, send me a welfare reform bill that has time limits and work requirements and such and such and such and such, and I will sign it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's called give me something you like so I can get something that I like.
Yeah.
It's an invitation. It's the way people negotiate. The bottom line on negotiation is when everybody walks away from the table annoyed, that was a good contract.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he knew exactly what he was doing, and I think he led them all the way on that.
Well, I'll tell you what. I am clear about your stance on the on that particular president of the United States. And, anybody that doesn't specifically denounce the man, you won't vote for him.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're clear about that, and I appreciate you calling us up and having the conversation, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. David in Clearwater, you are in executive session this very afternoon on WMNF.
I'm glad you said I didn't have the floor.
Listen, you can have it if you want it.
A pretty simple solution.
Yeah?
But it requires something that I haven't really seen much of,
uh-huh.
other than the senators that are retiring. It's something called statesmanship.
Yeah, how about that?
You want a simple solution? It was proposed in an op-ed, I think, in the, I hate to say this, Washington Post.
It was
fairly simple, and it used the Constitution.
Oh.
And what it said...
You're a radical.
The Senate ought to pass what they want to pass.
Right.
The House ought to pass what they want to pass, and they ought to put it in the conference committee. The House members and the Senate members get together and come up with a plan, when it comes out, it should be veto-proof.
Yeah.
And when it goes to the president, he can either take it or not.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, then the veto overrides, and he's still got his precious little people that apparently have all of the electoral votes out in the West.
But David, what you're talking about is regular order, sir.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Now that we're in the chaos corner of administration, you can tell him ahead of time that's what you're going to do. So you can tweet about it for 3 weeks before it hit him.
You can't just go back to regular order from here, David.
McConnell won't even bring it up.
I know. Isn't that interesting? I can't remember who it was that was on, who said that what Mitch McConnell's doing is a radical departure from constitutional procedure, in as much as the guy is saying he won't put anything on the floor unless the president pre-approves it.
Yes, I would think he would have to pre-sign it, because he's already approved it. They voted for it, sent it over to him, and he rejected it.
Yeah.
Because of
Coulter and Rush Limbaugh and a couple of folks from Fox got on him and said, you know, that he was, I don't know.
Worthless.
Yeah,
worthless.
Somewhat less than useful, I think.
He's got 90% of the things that he said he would do done.
Yeah.
He's got the rich, better taxes.
Yeah.
He put that guy in the EPA, and I swear to God, I think he eliminated all of the regulations that would try to protect us from poisoning ourselves.
Yeah, you know, listen, let me tell you, if you're going to breathe air, you ought to be able to see it.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to chew it.
Oh, well, very good. I like it.
I spent my humor.
All right, David. Listen, thanks for calling. We'll talk again.
Yeah.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. By the way, you're out there listening to this conversation, and you've been listening here on and off for a little while, and you're walking around, and you notice that you have a viewpoint that nobody else has brought up. And you've never called and made that viewpoint known. Why, you can pick up your device and tap out 813-239-9663 and let us know that this is your first time calling us, and we will do our best to put you in the priority boarding line, and we'll get you right on the air. 813-239-9663. We go over to Joe in St. Pete. Joe, good afternoon. You are in executive session.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to pick up where the last caller left off. Because,
what? About being able to chew the air?
About the Congress.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, yes, we are starting to live in a dictatorship, only if we think Donald Trump is a dictator, we got it all wrong. I think Mitch McConnell is the dictator, because ever since he's been the majority leader of the Senate, he's done all kind of stuff against Obama. Anytime he wanted to go against Obama, he could find a spine to come up with, you know, legislation or to block legislation. Mostly he blocked it. And to block Supreme Court justices. He always had a lot of spine when it comes to blocking the side that he's against.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden now, he can't come up with the power to lead the Senate. And I think my attitude is, I think the Senate ought to just throw him over. You don't just do whatever the president wants. You've got to legislate. You've got to be a leader, and he's not being a leader. He's being a ninny.
Well, there, you know, there is a substantial level of support among Republicans for this president, so he may find himself facing a considerable amount of support from inside his own party. And I don't know if that's what he's shy of or not.
Well, that's my next question. What kind of intelligent being can support a wall over the efficient running of our government? I mean, where do they equate one with the other? I'm having a hard time understanding. To me, a wall is a much smaller issue than getting people out there to work. And I think that should be the number one issue on everybody's mind. They ought to all go into a room, as the previous caller said, I think his name was Dave, get into a room, sit down, hash it out. Don't come out of that room till you come up with an agreement and get that government back open. Because to me, it's much more important to have an efficiently running government than it is to have a wall on your southern border. I just don't understand where people...
Well, there are so many ways to provide the kind of security that would be that's being pretended would be offered by this wall. And the fact of the matter is that basically if we started to build the thing tomorrow morning, it would take about 10 years. So it's kind of difficult to feature this as an emergency if what your response is something that's going to take 10 years to build.
Really?
You know, just... That's like you call the fire department because your kitchen's on fire, and they say as soon as we build the truck, we'll be over.
Exactly. That is the whole point of the matter, and I don't think it's wrong for the Democrats. I hate to be on the side of the Democrats, but I don't think it's wrong for them to say, "Hey, open up the governments first, and then let's negotiate. Let's talk."
Well,
you have to have an open government first. I think that has to happen before there's any discussion.
I'm pretty sure there are 800,000 people out there who are directly on the downstream side of government pay that probably agree with you, Joe.
Well, I hope that it happens soon. I really feel bad for those people.
All right. Well, listen, thanks a lot. We will talk again.
All right.
Sure enough. And you can talk again at 813-239-9663. And James, good afternoon. Welcome aboard. Are you there?
Yes.
Good. You're on.
My name is James from Lakeland.
Hello, James from Lakeland. Welcome aboard.
That's good to talk to you. I have got something I'd like to see if we could figure out here and get something done about this tab.
Tab?
The President of the United States is running on the people of this country for his legal fees.
Oh, yeah?
It's got to be way over $1 million by now.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think that the White House just what was it, a week ago, said that they were out hiring 17 new lawyers.
I know this is ridiculous. We need to have a running tab. I'd love to see it on anybody's show on a daily basis. How much it keeps going up and going up and going up, and let the American people see what this fool is spending on his disastrous defense.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Now, see, that's something I hadn't considered, but, you know, I mean, we have a national debt clock. Maybe we could have a national president's legal expense tab clock. It doesn't roll off the tongue, does it?
That would be great.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that the expenses are substantial because, unlike... the people that are out there in those Coast Guard cutters and the folks that are out there on those checkpoints, very few lawyers work for free, especially at that level.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of pro bono going on inside the defense, the Trump defense team.
I'm sure they didn't get shut out of getting paid during the shutdown.
Yep. All right. Listen, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. Welcome aboard, and we'll talk again.
Thank you very much.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. Charlie and Elizabeth and Abe and Susan, see you standing alongside, and we will be with you very, very shortly. Selling an unwanted vehicle can be a hassle, but donating it to WMNF is easy. Simply provide a clean title and we'll take care of the pickup and the donation receipt. To get started, call 888-966-3885 or go to WMNF.org.
It's finally happening. WMNF presents J.D. McPherson at Skipper Smokehouse on Friday, February 22nd. He blends 50s and 60s roots revival with a rocking alternative sound. Lindsay Beaver opens the show at 8 p.m. Tickets and more information at WMNF.org.
I want to remind you to hang around for Nancy C. and It's the Music. She is in the house over there, and I frankly just don't know what to expect from over there this afternoon. But you are invited to hang out and see. She's going to take you through the afternoon with some music and hand you off to the traffic jam so that you can get home on a Tuesday afternoon. And we'll see you tomorrow at about 6 minutes after one. We're going to open tomorrow with a feature, Everyday Ethics. Adam Baxter is going to be in here hosting that. And we are going to turn back to the telephone right now and talk to Charlie in St. Pete. Good afternoon, Charlie. You are in executive session and you have the floor. Oh, by the way, Charlie, before we get started, I wanted to go back and clean something up. I'll be right with you. Right. When I talked about the TSA and the F and the air traffic controllers kind of having this whole thing in the palm of their hand. Now, there was no advocacy for that. I just wanted to point out the fact, okay? So, sorry to interrupt, Charlie. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks, guys, for your show. I'm a first-time caller, and I really enjoy your show.
Well, welcome aboard, Charlie.
Yeah. The one thing I see, people keep blaming Trump for all this crap. And before I go ahead, I just want to say thank you to all those government employees who are working without pay. I mean, it's really a tough thing to work without a pay. All the blame should not go on Trump alone. There's this one person called Mitch McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the government runs, I mean, it's three branches of government.
Yeah.
You know, and I watched this guy stop Obama doing so much stuff. I mean, he was just, I don't know what the Constitution says about him, what the things he did with Obama last time. You know, even taking away the Supreme Court judge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that just went away like that. Nobody lifted a finger. I mean, they just said blah, 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 and that just went like that. Now, this time now, you have people being working without pay. He can't put anything on the floor until the president says he's going to sign it.
Yeah.
So what kind of legislation is that? I mean, this is stuff that you see in third world countries.
Well, it's a, yeah.
King, you know, you're afraid of the president.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that we are by design, we have three co-equal branches of government.
Yeah.
And the senior branch of the Congress is not supposed to be subservient to the chief executive.
That's exactly my point, and I keep scratching my head every day. I'm like, am I in America or where am I? You know?
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the possibilities in democracy is the very, very broad interpretation of law. And that's how come we have courts. Because, Charlie, we're supposed to be able to drag this stuff into court and have the courts look at it and go, you can do that, or no, you can't do that.
Or is there a way you can impeach McConnell? Can he be impeached?
Absolutely.
It should be a law that McConnell should be impeached because he's abdicated his duties as the leader of the Senate.
There you go.
He's supposed to put laws, things that have been passed, people vote. So the people who are elected, now people are not, he's stopping from representation.
All right. Well, listen, I believe you are the first person who has called for the impeachment of Mitch McConnell. It's an interesting concern, and you basically say that he has just blown off his duties as the leader of the Senate.
And just I want to throw another thing out there. Now, since the FBI are not working, these are people supposed to be protecting us, and they're also doing this other investigation. Maybe there's something there. They don't want them to do their job.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yep. All right, listen, Charlie, again, welcome aboard. Glad to have you. Thanks for calling, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, and keep up the good job. Thank you.
You can count on it. And we are headed down the backstretch here. We're about to turn for home. We're going to talk to Elizabeth. Good afternoon, Elizabeth. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Oh, thank you, John. I'm not sure it's worth even speaking anymore. What in the world do average people just do when their government is acting like this?
Well, I think that one of the things, I think that part of the answer to that we saw in November. When they get a chance, they go to the polls in large numbers.
Well, that's true. But that doesn't happen every once a week, you know.
Right. Well, our job reviews are spaced at 2-year intervals.
Yeah. Yeah. Another 2 years of this crap, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what, though. You know, we have a freshman class incoming to the House of Representatives that represents probably the most radical departure from traditional politicians that I've ever seen. And there are more women, there are more minorities, there are more a much more widely diverse representation of religious viewpoints, and the House of Representatives happens to hold the purse strings.
Yeah, that is some help.
And that is where impeachment rises.
I know. And you know, that's a messy business.
Oh.
It doesn't always do what you want anyway.
Yeah, it's
Nixon was impeached, and so what?
Well, Nixon actually cleared out when he found out that they were going to impeach him.
Yeah.
And Bill Clinton was actually impeached, but the Senate didn't convict him. And that is the point right there.
That's
is
the
that
point.
If the uh-huh. even if the House drafts impeachment articles and they vote for them and they do impeach the president,
and he's not convicted.
Then it goes into the Senate. And actually heard somebody say that there is some danger that if he is not convicted in the Senate, which is very likely, okay, that it will appear to the American public as though he had been absolved of all these misbehaviors.
Mm-hmm. He didn't do any wrong.
Yeah.
He's still our president. And even if he were impeached and convicted and all that, what are you going to get then?
Well, that's one of the interesting things about this is that Mike Pence right now is probably Donald Trump's best impeachment insurance,
mm-hmm,
because I definitely am not interested in having a President Pence.
No.
There are people who believe that the election should be nullified, and the problem with that is that I look through the Constitution that you so graciously provided for me, mm-hmm. and I don't see a mechanism for nullifying a presidential election.
I've been reading that thing again very closely. I know there's something in there that says that Congress can kick them out if they're not doing right, but I can't quite find it in the words I want.
Well, it is worded very carefully, and it was worded very carefully because the people who put it together were not interested in having impeachment be something whimsical. Yes. They didn't want it to be something easy. They wanted the impeachment and the removal. Yeah. Of an elected official to be something extremely serious that required a great deal of consensus.
Yeah. Well, it's reached that point, and it's also gone a bit beyond that. Why bother?
Well, I'll tell you what, we have to keep turning back to that document. And that, I believe, is the life ring for this whole thing that we're in, is we keep having to turn back to that, and we keep having to use it. And part of using it is, as I have so many times said, to get out there and use the vote. We have got to show up. I'll tell you what, the next time there's an election, the polling places need to look like that wall-climbing scene from World War Z. I'm serious. I mean, we need to be out there in unmanageable numbers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. One certainly hopes it has reached that point.
Yep. Well, we shall see. Thank you, Elizabeth. Good to talk with you. We will talk again.
Thank you, John.
Sure enough. All right, we are in the lightning round, the last few minutes of the session for today, and we are going to get as many of you folks in here as possible. Susan in Anna Maria Island, you are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Yeah, hey, John, I know we're down to the wire, but I wanted to make a comment what you said at the top of the show about the TSA and the air traffic controllers and everything. Yeah, I am advocating that because this is an extreme. This wall is totally ridiculous, and it takes extreme measures. And absolutely right, because once you do that, you're going to hit capitalism. You're going to hit all the big airlines. You know, there's going to be empty planes. There's going to be empty cruise ships. There's going to be empty resorts, you know, because people can't move around.
Yeah.
And I know you can't advocate it, but I am.
Well, here's the thing. The other thing is now that the those officers and probably the air traffic controllers have in their contracts clauses that say they can't strike. They literally are not allowed to. And so but the thing is, if there was some sort of work action,
right.
Even if it was, I mean, what are they going to, can you imagine the mess that would result if they fired all of the transportation security officers?
Oh, yeah, it would snowball. That's what I mean. It would snowball. And when you mess with capitalism, I mean, the bathroom and the Oval Office would be ringing off the hook by CEOs, that's, of Royal Caribbean, American Airlines.
Yeah, that's where the nerves are closest to the surface, aren't it? Isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Unfortunately, like I said, it would be painful for a lot of people.
But yeah.
Like I said, it's,
well, the effort that it would take to replace the entire workforce out on those checkpoints, and the other thing is, how are you going to recruit people to fill all those jobs when you have to tell them, oh, at some point in the future, you might be out here working for nothing.
Right, and it would have to be a quick thing. So, how well trained are these people going to be, and how confident are you going to be for your security as you travel?
Well, I can tell you from personal experience that the training will not be altered. There is a set path for training.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And if you are going to go on the checkpoints, First thing you the first thing you have to do is you have to go through I don't know how long it is now. It was a couple of weeks at least, daily, like 40, 50, 60 hours. And then you have to go out there and shadow somebody. There has to be somebody that takes you out there with them. And if the whole workforce is gone, who's going to do that?
Right, and how appealing is it to get a position, like you said, might not get paid.
Well, we're going to hire you. We're not going to pay you a whole lot anyway, and then sometimes we're not going to pay you at all. Oh, yeah, good. Where can I get one of those?
Right, exactly. Thank you, John.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot. Chris, we are not going to get a chance to talk with you this afternoon because we are just about literally down to the last minute of the session. And so I invite you to call back at some point. We'll be here tomorrow. We're going to open featuring Everyday Ethics with Adam Baxt hosting, as we do on Wednesdays. And there will be a discussion of I don't know what, but if you go out on the Executive Session Facebook page later this evening, you will probably find that out. In the meantime, stay around the station for Nancy C. She's right over there. She's got everything all warmed up and lit up, and she is ready to rock and roll. And then she's going to take you, like I said, down through to the traffic jam this afternoon and deliver you unto your home safe and sound. And in the meantime, always remember,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.